We are the greatest dykes in the world. Mackenzie Goodwin, Rachel Scanlon, Worldwide Dykes for Life. Hey, two dykes, two dykes, two dykes, one mic, one mic, one mic, one mic. Yeah, two dykes, two dykes.
So we just actually held our first lesbian game night on Patreon, which was exclusive to our top tier patrons.
It was the most fun I've ever had.
It was so fun. And next time we are going to play a sex bingo where everyone gets a unique sex bingo card and you go around. And if you get one of your numbers is called, you can actually share that story.
Yeah.
If and you have it.
Because we had a little back and forth with like, do we want to turn their mics on? Do we want the mics off? Like, I want to hear it because we had a lot of fun engaging with the people in the Zoom. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, this is the perfect way to get exactly what I needed, which is gay goss.
Yes.
And attention.
All I want is to hear all of our listeners gay goss.
Yeah.
And I want to know their sex stories.
Yep.
I want to know what they've done
yep.
and with you their bodies.
Also play and you can also pass. So if you just, if you want to sit and just watch, hello, voyeurs, you can do that. And it's going to be a lot of fun. We had a really good turnout and I had like, I love looking at everyone.
I like getting to know everyone. Yeah.
Me too. So we're going to get to. That is going to be sick. That's next third Sunday of next month. I wish they could see how we were positioned right now.
It's pretty
Mackenzie's
weird.
In, I would say,
the fetal
an
position.
Adult fetal position.
Yeah.
And I am full on like seal.
Yeah.
Like
we are. This is a very awkward position.
I'm
for
pushing
us today.
Your knees into your chest with my feet.
Yeah.
I'm going to take a picture and we're going to post it on Twitter. You look amazing.
Can I see? Do I look like shit?
No, you look great. You look awesome.
You got to get my bike out of there.
No, the bike is making an appearance and I like it a lot. Should we welcome?
Ladies and gentlemen.
Welcome to Two Dykes and a Mic. I'm Rachel Goodwin.
I'm Mackenzie Scanlon.
And we're married and we love gay stuff.
Mostly
we're
butt stuff.
Mostly butt stuff. We're both stand-up comedians. Or used to be. And now we're actually professional
Zookeepers. Today's episode is a big one because we've been getting a lot of DMs. A lot of people are talking about the movie that we are going to review today.
I care a lot.
And you got Rosamund Pike. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
She was in Gone Girl. Dude,
oh,
you really
girl,
don't.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, girl, she gone.
Oh, girl, she gone.
She's great at playing a psychotic
full
person.
Full-on psycho person.
Yeah, she actually really does play it well. And I know we're going to get into this a lot later, but this movie, I didn't expect it to be gay because the trailer really didn't lean heavily on it. And I was pleasantly surprised by the queerness in this movie. And I'm really, really excited to talk about it.
I'm very excited to review it with you because I usually can tell what you're going to think about it.
You
and
have no
idea. I don't know yet. And I'm very excited.
Because people that have been DMing us and talking.
Fucking love it. They're nutting.
Love it. Some hate it.
True. This is a very polarizing movie
it
in
is.
Our community.
So I'm excited to get into that later with you.
As am I.
Perfect. Let's get into some.
Gay
news. Ray.
Yes.
Did you see that Gillian Anderson is going to star in a new Showtime docuseries about Eleanor Roosevelt?
I fucking just saw that on Twitter. Yes, I did.
So fucking excited. So it's called The First Lady, and it's going to be going, it's going to be following all different types of First Ladies. So a lot of them. So Gillian Anderson is playing Eleanor Roosevelt. Michelle Pfeiffer is going to be playing Betty Ford. Viola Davis is going to be playing Michelle Obama.
Hot.
So you're going to get all of these types.
On the count of three, how many First Ladies do you think were gay? One, two, three, 46.
All of them. Oh, so yeah. So that's huge because we're getting a queer person playing a queer first lady. And I really hope that they lean into that.
You're going to, when you age, which obviously happened when you were 12.
Yeah.
But when you age a little bit more, which already happened, but eventually when you go into your actual like old wisdom tree vibes, you're going to look like her.
Like Gillian Anderson?
Yeah. But like,
I kind of see
worse.
It. but like not hot.
You're going to look just like Gillian Anderson, but like fucking bad. You know how it works on her? Because she's a hot person. Just take all
opposite.
The good.
It's going to be the opposite of that for you, dude. Hey, you know what? Thanks.
Thank you. And you know what? You're welcome. And I would still have sex with you regardless of any age. Not any. You know what? Let's take that back. Most ages I would have sex with you in.
Thank you.
If I had to, for work purposes only.
I want so badly for you and I to be living in an assisted living center when we're older.
100%. Well, we're going to do gay gray gardens where we're just like two fucking loon bats that are like, Harry, where's my cold brew? Like, we're going to be old, wretched, freaky little bitches. I'm going to still
gay
tell you about
gray gardens. It's so funny.
Gay gardens. I'm going to gay gardens with you. And we're going to both like, which I do believe like Amber and I have originated this like beautiful term, which is like you and your queer platonic friend.
Yeah.
Grow old and lose your minds together. It's the most beautiful thing. It's an honor. And I do picture myself old as fuck. Mm-hmm. Still like podcasting with you and being like, you won't believe this new sex toy I tried. It went in my ass.
Dude, I fucking hope so.
Like, I'm gonna play a game with you called like Guess Which Hole I Put This In, and that's gonna be the new segment. But we'll both be so old
that it could be like any. It could be any at any point. In other gay news, Sporty Spice said that she sometimes had wished she was a lesbian, and it's like, yeah, all of us did.
We're lesbians, you and I. And obviously, whenever we played Spice Girls, I was always sporty. Were you?
Always sporty.
You were always sporty?
Always sporty. I chose that one because I felt more comfortable in it.
Same. Well, she was the gay Spice Girl.
She was the gay Spice Girl.
And she just came out and said, I wish I was.
She said she wished she was. And I find it, actually, that is one of the straightest things you can say.
I couldn't agree with you more.
Because when I've met so many straight girls that are like, God, I wish I was a lesbian. Yeah. And that is, to me, the most
quintessential straight thing to say.
Yes, because you already have thought about it and you know that you're not. And you're like, I wish I could.
Yep.
And that's kind of what she's saying. So she revealed that sometimes she wished that she was a lesbian because so many people had assumed she was. So she also said she doesn't mind that people had questioned her sexuality. Cute. She said, and I'm like, I'm so confused. I don't think I am, but maybe I am. I don't give it much thought.
Cute.
She said, I work a lot with the LGBTQ plus community, and I very much feel a part of the community, even though I really don't fit into any of those labels. But I don't mind being called a lesbian.
Okay, this
and
is
I
great.
Think that's an amazing statement to say as an ally, mm-hmm. because you're like, yeah, no, if I was, I would come out, and mm-hmm. I'm happy that you can call me. You know, you can call me whatever.
Yeah, and I like that she recognizes, too, that, like, she gets classified as the gay Spice Girl, and she's like, no disrespect, wish I could.
Yeah.
And
well, because she was that for us.
Yeah, even if, like, let's say, what's her name? Mel D?
It's Mel C.
Is it Mel C?
Yeah.
It's so the five Spice Girls are Mel A, Mel B, Mel C, Mel D, and Tiffany. Yeah. So Mel C is straight, mm-hmm. but in my mind, Sporty Spice
is gay. Yeah, the character. Yeah, the character she played.
I love that.
Was
gay. You're right. There is nothing straighter than wishing you were a lesbian. That's a very straight thing to do, because I think that queer people are like, yeah, it's actually, it sucks as well.
Because think about like a lot of queer people when growing up were like, I wish I was straight so I didn't have to fucking deal with this.
Absolutely.
And it's almost like that wish inside of you of being the easier of the two.
Yeah.
Because a lot of straight girls have come up to me and been like, it would be so easy for me to be in your shoes.
Yep.
Because girls are so easy.
Which
you
is
know?
Wrong.
Exactly.
But also, I do believe like men would be challenging to form long-term relationships with.
Yes.
I can definitely see how somebody would be like, a straight woman would be like, it would be so great to have two women.
Yeah.
In one relationship.
And I'm so happy to be gay.
Same.
I'm so happy. You have no idea. I watch Love Island and I'm like, ew.
I watch every reality show. You know, this is like my only exposure to like straight dating. Yeah. Is just
The Bachelor.
With quarantine,
and
quarantine, which is Bachelor. And Love Island. Vanderpump, Summer House, mm-hmm. and Love Island. And I'm just like, I'm so fucking grateful. Not even like dating wise, because like, you run into fuckboys in the lesbian community.
You do.
You run into assholes who are going to fuck you over.
Yes.
Talk to multiple people. Everyone's swiping. Everyone's etiquette mm-hmm. is way off nowadays. But like, when you literally think about mm-hmm. picking one person that you're going to build a home with, right? You're going to pick out curtains. You're going to meal plan.
And have
you're
children.
You're going to raise a child.
With.
You're going to pick a swatch color and
put your bank accounts together.
You're going to put your bank accounts together and you're going to say like, I need your help organizing our books by color.
No.
And I need you to help me pick up fucking little fucking, you know, Courtney from school. Like, you're telling me you can do that without two women minds doing it?
I don't
understand. Fucking right.
I don't understand.
I'm just very, very grateful that I'm in a phase where I'm like, I'm nesting and it is with a woman, because I don't know. And then this is generalization, of course, but I don't know how, I think most, any family, you need to have at least two queer people in it.
I agree.
And if it's not, it's wrong. And you'll probably go to hell for it. You heard it here first. At me. Literally at me. I'm at Rachel Safety on everything. My phone number is 612.
I thought you were going to put my thing at me. This is Mackenzie.
This is Mackenzie. Hi, I'm at Mackenzie Good Squirt.
All right. Are you ready for some more gay news?
Yes, bitch.
It looks like lockdown grew too hard for some horny thief.
Excuse me?
So there was a sex store in Brighton that over 600 euros worth of sex toys was stolen.
Oh, no.
CCTV footage shows the thief approaching the store with a camouflage rucksack before picking up products that had been left for a customer collection. So they went through and they stole inflatable sex dolls, vibrators, nipple clamps, mm-hmm. sex aids, spanking paddles, mm-hmm. and even a vegan bondage bed restraint set.
And I know that that makes it seem very pointed, like I obviously did.
I mean, it was definitely you, though.
I'm not.
Where were you this last weekend?
Busy.
Were you
really
in the UK?
I don't know. Maybe I was. I wasn't, though. You can check my Venmo history.
Let's listen and see if this sounds like you. Mm-hmm. The person is pretty desperate.
Tracks.
I think they would know exactly what was inside because it's really clear what the shop is. Maybe they just needed to get some sex toys. Desperate for some pleasure is what the store owner, Tim Richardson, said. It sounds like he's talking about you.
You know what's so weird?
Huh?
My Tinder bio and also every Yelp review that has been left about me.
Mm-hmm.
Also says, and I quote, desperate for pleasure. So the fact that you said that right now, it also matches this tattoo that I have that reads
desperate for pleasure.
It's right below my ass. And that's pretty spot on. I'm actually scared.
Huh. Well, if anybody has any more CCTV footage of Rachel breaking into this store, email us at twodykesandamike@gmail.com. That has been it for
gay news. I have a queer of the week for you.
Oh my God, hit me with
also,
it.
I'm going to hit you with an ask a dyke. And if you guys have ass a dykes or bumble fumbles.
Did you say ass a dyke?
Ass a dyke. And you can take and think and do with that whatever you see fit.
Okay.
The segment is called ass a dyke.
Okay.
Or acid dyke.
Acid dyke. All right, so you have a queer of the week for me and an ask a dyke.
Yes, and if you guys want to send us over, please do. We're wide open for business. Okay, I'd like to nominate my partner Celeste as queer of the week. More like queer of the past 1.5 years. In that time, she has, number one, started her own business called The Conscious Kitchen. Ooh, The Conscience, why can't I say it? Okay. Conscious Kitchen?
Yeah.
There it is. Making vegan prepared meals and recipe boxes with locally sourced ingredients and zero waste packaging. My girlfriend would nut for that.
Nice.
Two, built a tiny home. Wow. We got someone to do it, actually, the building, but she spent hours researching, thanks to YouTube, designing and ordering materials for it, renovating the inside and out of it. And then four, once we got kicked off the property because of a bylaw issue, coming up with the plan to buy our own not so tiny log home on a rural property.
I just nutted.
Yeah, between everything you, between points 1, 2, 3, and 4, everyone in this room is fully norted.
Those are all my keywords.
Yeah.
Those are the words that make me toint.
Yeah.
Hoard.
Yeah. Hoard.
Hort.
All of this, all of the drive and determination that made this possible, overcoming the challenges and bumps along the way, all of this was because of her. I would have given up on day one, but not her. And because of her, I get to sit in our beautiful home beside our adorable dogs and stare out of the frozen forest. That is my bliss. By the way, we're huge fans of the show. She introduced it to me, and I think it's fair to say that we got through a lot of the difficult times because we were listening to you guys. She listens to your podcast in the kitchen when she's cooking for her business, in the car when she's doing deliveries, or at home when she's sick of listening to me. And then I listen to the episodes and she tells me I need to listen to. Thank you so much for making us laugh. Wow. Aww. So happy queer of the week to you, Celeste. That's really, really huge. And I love, like, your guys' relationship seems like it's a very good balance of like push and pull, and you've built things together. You have a life together. I think this is beautiful. Amazing. Also, maybe check out the Conscious Kitchen. Like, that's just for my girlfriend if she's listening.
Happy queer of the week to you, Celeste.
Cute. I love that.
That was
so
really
much.
Adorable. Can I read the Ask a Dyke?
You have to.
The title is, I'm a straight woman falling for another woman.
I've been waiting for this Ask a Dyke since we started this GD podcast.
This is very fascinating to me for so many reasons, and we'll get into it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I've identified as straight all my life and recently developed intense feelings for another woman.
Hot.
I met her at a party, and she's a friend of some of my friends. I was attracted to her immediately, and I never felt attraction to a woman a day in my life. I don't know how that's possible. This is a side note. This is me.
Right.
I don't know how that's possible.
Have you seen Women?
You've seen a movie.
Yeah. All movies. Any music video. Have you seen Hot in Her by Nelly?
We talked all night, and now we're friends. The more I get to know her, the more I'm into her, and she's an insanely handsome, soft, butch lesbian.
Same. She sounds a lot like me.
She's incredibly smart and funny. Has a fantastic personality and is, unfortunately for me, in a relationship with the love of her life, and they're raising a kid together.
Fuck!
I don't know if she knows how I feel. I've never told her. I find myself fantasizing and daydreaming about her all the time, crying at night, feeling sick, sad, and very confused. I don't know what I should do. Any advice you guys would have would be great.
Holy shit. Okay, so that took...
That's a lot.
A turn.
Yeah, it's hard.
Let's start with the first half first.
Yeah.
I think that we are going to see a lot more of this moving forward mm-hmm. in time, which is people who identify as straight.
Yeah.
Who, when you are open kind of to
the possibility
and the possibility of yeah. things, you know, entering your heart,
mm-hmm.
you're going to see it show up in forms that you maybe didn't prepare for
yeah.
or also didn't see coming.
Yeah. This kind of reminds me of that girl that was on The Bachelor. Mm-hmm. And then she fell for a woman when she left, remember? And then they brought her back with the girlfriend.
Mm-hmm.
I forget her name.
Same, she's blonde.
Yeah. But it reminds me of, and you know, you and I have a couple friends who kind of have this same trajectory.
Totally.
Which, you know, we don't have to talk about them, but.
Also, like when we are moving forward in our like understanding of how we've conceptualized gender identities and expression,
mm-hmm.
we're going to see it a lot less weighted in how this person identifies with their gender
yeah.
and a lot more with just who they are. And I think that this is going to be something that's very common and also, which makes a ton of sense. This also can be flipped very easily, which is I identified as a lesbian my whole life. Mm-hmm. And I don't know what happened, but I'm, you know, 32 years old and there is this man that has shown up and
yeah.
these feelings are forming because I think this is the most natural thing that happens, which
is
like,
you fall for people.
Boom. Exactly. Yeah. And it makes perfect sense, which is you fall for somebody.
Yeah. I'm attracted to Barack Obama. Does that mean I'm not a lesbian?
No, hell no.
Exactly.
So I think that this is such an interesting thing too. I also like, I do think that this would be somebody who like possibly, although is emailing our podcast. So mm-hmm. I think is a listener, which yeah. is fascinating. But I think that there are people that are even like culturally straight
yeah.
That didn't have a lot of the experiences that you and I did, which is like
the shame.
Closeted, shameful, coming out when mm-hmm. you're right at the precipice of
and
puberty.
And also being constantly like turned on by women around you
yeah.
or nervous around women. I know a lot of like, culturally not lesbians, culturally mm-hmm. straight women who then are like,
well, I fell in love with the girl.
Exactly.
And I think that this is very interesting because I think that like for me, my lesbian identity, like a lot of that comes from this like teenage shame.
Yeah.
And like a lot of trauma that like a lot of lesbians can like understand that from being closeted. And then like that fucking like yearning that you cannot express.
Exactly.
And the panic of like,
the
fuck,
longing.
Now I have to deal with this.
Yes.
And I think that like there is a new wave of people that are showing up later on in life that were like never had to deal with it, but are like, well, guess what? I'm in love with a woman now.
Yeah.
And I think that it's like a beautiful new addition, a totally new perspective
mm-hmm.
on like queer dating and queer love now that are like, I've seen it a lot too with like, there's a lot of self-help people
mm-hmm.
that just like do not identify in any way. They were like maybe straight before, but now they're like, it is completely irrelevant. Or even like there's Peloton instructors that, you know, never dated women in the past and like didn't have queer relationships. And then are now married to long-term relationships with women. And
yeah.
all of it is very like, I love that this is something that is able to be had and like is such a warm new perspective in our community. And I think it's like,
I think it's fucking amazing.
Gorgeous.
And it does remind me of an after dark call that we got last, like 2 or 3 weeks ago.
Yeah.
And it was
fascinating.
It was a fascinating one. And we've been kind of having this conversation over the course of a couple weeks because you and I had so much to say about it.
Yeah.
And it was a lesbian who had been an open lesbian for many, many years, mm-hmm. and had fallen in love with a man, mm-hmm. and was so nervous to come out being in a relationship with a man.
Yeah, worried about the judgment from our community.
Exactly. And we, you know, we talked about that a lot. And this is very similar as to, she always identified as a lesbian, always, like, mm-hmm. never thought this would happen. And all of a sudden she just fell for this person.
Right. Which is fucking beautiful.
And that's what we said, is that, you know, it doesn't make you any less of a queer person.
Right.
And, you know, this obviously is a different scenario because this person is longing for somebody in a relationship who's raising a child with somebody else. And you really are. You're walking a fine line. And I think that my advice to you is that you're going to have to probably distance yourself from the person. I don't think being around them more and being close friends, because she said that now they are friends, I think that's going to hurt you more than help you.
Here's the thing. I first also just want to applaud you for being open to these new experiences that you're feeling, right? Yeah. You're feeling like new, like, love feelings for a woman. And that is such a new, beautiful thing. Mm-hmm. And I would like maybe challenge you to reframing what you're experiencing. And instead of, I met this one woman who is so unavailable, who is in a relationship with the love of her life and is raising a family, and thinking of it more as, this person has ignited something in me that I didn't know was there. And I would really like to take that flame and explore it with other women.
Yeah.
And maybe take her off of this pedestal of, she's, instead of thinking she's the only one woman that will do this for me, mm-hmm. maybe think of it as, maybe this is the tip of something else.
Yeah.
Maybe this is the beginning of a new iceberg that I can go explore further into. And I think that will help take her off of this pedestal for you. And if I do agree with you, Mackenzie, though, if you're not able to maintain a relationship that is platonic and a friendship without you fantasizing about like fucking that person, because
you've got to respect her and her relationship, mm-hmm. and her child, you know, you can't be somebody who's coming in. And I don't think that you are like this, but I think respecting their family and their unit, mm-hmm. is something that's very
important. And you don't want to torture yourself.
Exactly.
Like, I have people that in my life right now where I have like very strong, I have like certain people that I'm like very strongly sexually attracted to that I'm
right
like,
here.
It's obviously Mackenzie,
yeah.
that I don't want anything further with. And I'm just like, I actually, it's not fun for me to like even.
Is it
it's Erica, your girlfriend.
Dude.
Sorry. That's why I can't look at her. And I say, just make me dumplings and don't look at me.
Is it?
Go
is
watch
it,
The Blacklist. That's stop. What I say to her.
Is it one of your instructors? Who is it?
Yeah. At Orange Theory?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I'm just wondering. We're best friends. I wanted
to
ask.
Yeah, dude. I have some very strong sexual sexual attractions to straight, physical, like, body professionals.
Yeah.
And I'm like, yeah, it's not for
I see
me,
that because
not,
you like The Rock. I think I know that you're very,
very
sexually
attracted to Dwayne
to
The Rock Johnson. Yeah. A rock hard fitness body that I'm like, this is fantastic. But for me, I'm not getting anything out of it.
Right.
Like, so I don't need to like pursue a very close friendship with these types
of people. Exactly. Because then it's just torture.
It's not fun either. Yeah. And it's like, I don't feel like it's what they want and it's not exactly. what I want. So it's like, why do that? Mm-hmm. So I think it's very definitely okay to think of it as the beginning of something new instead of this like pining for somebody who's unavailable. And if you could try to reframe it, that would be great. And then also, it's eventually also like, I think the way this question is kind of phrased, that you can feel it, that it is starting to become painful.
Yeah. I mean, and if you're crying about it, you need to let that person go. Cause I have in my past fallen for friends and been so like, yeah, you pine over them. You think about them constantly. And especially if they're with somebody else, it's soul crushing. And if you are driving home crying, if you're lying awake in bed crying and wanting to be with this person, being close without having that is going
it's
to
painful.
Be, it's painful. It's a nightmare. Yeah. It's torture.
Mm-hmm.
So I think the best thing you can do is be like, hey, this will never happen.
Yep.
I have to step away and I'm going to find somebody that can fulfill this within me.
Right. And like getting the space from you need, I think will also help you get more clarity yeah. and see that like, okay, this is something fun that was given to me instead of like this agonizing thing that's being taken from me.
Yeah.
So I think that's, yeah, try that out.
Yeah. Reframe it. It to be like, I now know that I am and can be.
Have the capacity to fall and be attracted to
women.
Women. And like, yeah, maybe that sounds like such a fun, when I first started to accept that I was like attracted to women, for me, it felt like I have this new pool of like complete new experiences that I need yeah. to go like explore.
Yeah.
And
boy, did you explore.
Girl, I fucking drowned in it. Yeah. So go have fun with that.
This week for our movie, we watched I Care A Lot.
Yeah.
2020. Mm-hmm. It's on Netflix. It's starring Rosamund Pike and
God, she's so mm-hmm. freakishly hot.
And Isa Gonzalez.
She's so hot. It literally hurts my kidneys. I Care A Lot, by the way, on Netflix was billed as an LGBTQ comedy.
What?
Yes. Like on Netflix, you see the synopsis and it says LGBTQ comedy, which is insane.
A shady legal guardian lands in hot water when she tries to bilk a woman who has ties to a powerful gangster.
We got a lot of DMs about this one.
We did. It is billed as an LGBTQ comedy. Technically, the two leads are queer. So they're dating, but mm-hmm. I have a problem off the top that I want to talk about,
please.
Which was that they had literally no chemistry and they kissed. I've had more sensual kisses with you.
Interesting. That didn't bother me.
What bothered me is in almost every scene that they kissed, one of their heads was faced away. Mm. So if you got a screenshot, you couldn't actually hold on their kiss.
Fascinating.
And when they were finally kissed a little bit further into the movie, they would peck and then give each other Eskimo kisses. And to me, it was the least sexual kissing that I have seen for in a long time.
I guess when we were talking about just kissing, like it didn't stand out to me, but it also didn't bother me because I was like, this is a very hot couple. Although like we are really getting stuck in this, like one is blonde and one is a brunette, like trope,
yeah,
which is happening a lot. But their relationship unfolded like kind of quietly where I knew that they were going to be together because of everyone on Twitter.
Mm-hmm.
But they also start off where, you know, Rosamund Pike is the boss.
Yeah.
And they have this like coworker thing. And then when they complete the first con, they're like doing this montage of like celebrating and they fuck each other. I thought that was hot.
Yeah. I mean, but I just wanted more. I guess that's my whole
when you bill
issue
it as
here.
A, when it has the hype of like this lesbian thing, it is not about
this
relationship.
The sex scene is literally there in a shadowy hallway
mm-hmm.
and all we
a
see
wide
is
shot.
A wide shot and you see a leg go up.
Yeah.
And to me, I was like, that's a bullshit sex scene and we're not getting what this should have been.
But I'll tell you what, by the end though, they actually lean into how much they're like full on
lovers.
Thelma and Louising. They're
Bonnie and Clyding.
They're Bonnie and Clyding. They're like definitely, they don't leave each other behind.
No.
They love each other.
Yeah.
They're going back for each other. They're building a life together. They're moving forward. Like they don't.
I was here for that part. I was here when Rosamund Pike
rescues her.
And that was nice.
And they kind of showers her off and they're like, those kisses I thought were actually very intimate. When she cleans her up, and they're in the shower holding each other. I'm like, so because we only saw them like that wide shot of them like celebrating fucking.
Yeah.
And I couldn't tell halfway through this movie. I'm like, I don't know what their relationship is with each other.
Mm-hmm.
If they kind of fuck, but they're coworkers. If they're closeted, but they're together.
I just felt like a lack of chemistry between these actresses who are
straight.
Full straight.
Yeah. But for me, I also was like, I watched it with Nazara and I was telling her afterwards. I'm like, I don't really care that this was played by straight actors because the movie had so little to do with the lesbian. Like it wasn't about their experiences as specific queer women.
No.
I was like,
and that I liked.
Exactly. Me too.
I liked that we didn't have a coming out. We didn't have a, oh my God, they're lesbians. They never talked about it.
Yep.
It's just, this was the couple
I loved
that
it.
Is doing all these shitty things.
Yeah.
So let's get into the fact that we have our two lesbian villains.
Right. So we have both lesbian villains, which I also think we're seeing this again, where we're either getting movies that are bond dramas,
yeah.
period piece. Oh no, we're gay. What to do?
Mm-hmm.
Or we are getting lesbian villains, which I typically really like. And I don't think, you know how like a lot of times queer people are held up to this double standard of like, if you're openly queer and you're in like a family movie, you have to be like squeaky clean.
Yeah.
You have to be like Modern Family. Mm-hmm. You have to be like, you know, drag queens reading like children's stories to children.
Yes.
So I've been liking typically your villainelle, your complete sociopath who is
which
a
is what
sexy
she is.
Villain.
Yeah.
However, I like the trope. I think it's fun, and I think it's fun to play with because I don't think they're standing for all lesbians.
No.
We're just getting a fun queer villain, which, by the way, we always get queer villains. But when it came to this movie, the con was so diabolical and so evil that I couldn't get past wanting her to fail.
I agree.
I thought that it was so, and I have a soft spot for old people specifically.
I think elder abuse is one of the most heinous things you can do. So having them be anti-heroes, it didn't work because the elder abuse was so horrible.
Well, we couldn't get over it.
You can't.
It's also a real issue that is really happening a lot, and it's not a solvable issue. Whatever. We have, if this movie, very simply, without changing anything else in this movie, if they picked a different con, I would have loved this movie.
That's exactly what I was thinking. If it was any other con, because the problem is that the entire movie I wanted to see the older woman, Jennifer, who is Diane Wiest. She's technically, that's not even her real name in the movie.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted her to win. And they really did like sideline her entire character at the end when we were getting to see her being like, you're fucked, you know, like throwing these things into Marla Grayson's face, like you fucked with the wrong person. He's coming for you. Like these threats that she was giving. I was getting so excited. And then she disappears from the movie.
Yep.
She gets put into the mental institution and we never see her again. And it's the one character that I was like, I wanted to see the old people fight back and, and get out of this. And they never got to do that. And that's where I was like really bummed.
Yeah. Well, and that, so there are spoilers in this, but like, you know, the con that was like, you fucked with the wrong old lady.
Mm-hmm.
We never saw her really get her vengeance.
And that's
and
what
we,
I wanted. Yeah.
What happened was there at the very, very end of the movie. So like, by the way, this movie's crazy.
It's fucking
nuts. Not only
nuts.
Are we watching two con men stealing houses, properties, money, lives, freedom from old people and full on like turning them into prisoners who are doped up in elderly homes.
And just left to die.
Left to die. So we're watching that. The con, by the way, that's the con.
And it's so sad.
So tragic.
Yeah.
Very, very tragic. Very, very sad. Very real. You're watching old people screaming for help. Like truly crazy stuff.
Yeah.
And the movie then is like, now it turns into a Russian mob movie where Peter Dinklage is a mob boss.
And also traffics women
with
drugs. So he's a, like a drug trafficker and uses women as mules. And we see that these
then they're
women
doing
are
this,
dying.
Yeah, they're doing this cat and mouse thing where Peter Dinklage is going after our main, you know, lesbian villain to get his mom back. And then it's like there's a shootout at an elderly home. And, you know, she gets a lot of like almost murdering of people in very natural ways. A lot of it turns into like a mob movie. Then they end up joining forces. So this huge turn, it's crazy. And then it jumps forward in time where they have turned this small con into a nationwide enterprise with hundreds of elderly homes. She's doing TED Talks. She's a famous person. She's like one of the richest people in the world. The very, very end of the movie where we could have, I'm almost like, it could have been redeemed one more time if the movie was like, we thought you forgot about the mom.
Yeah.
But she actually made it out and either is in on the con, like everyone's a horrible villain.
Yeah.
Or she's the one who shoots
and takes the whole thing down.
Would have loved if she was the one who murdered lead lesbian character, but she didn't. We just forgot about her forever.
No, they never brought her back.
It was very strange.
And so what ends up happening is, in a bookend of sorts, the guy who at the very first scene, who went in to go see his mom and is not able to see his mom, and she dies alone, he comes out and he kills...
Assassins Marla Grayson.
Assassinates Marla Grayson. Mm-hmm. So he walks up, shoots her, and said, "My mom died alone because I couldn't go see her because of you."
And murders her.
And murders her. And that is the last scene of the movie. And nobody wins in this movie. No. Nobody wins. And you have, it's not even an anti-hero. You have two villains. I mean, this to me is like the female version of the Joker movie, where it's just like glorifying awful also, people.
I wished the whole time I was like, unless this is like a weird, like continuation of like actual, the original Thelma and Louise movie, where we're like, okay, so now they're like,
no way. That is such a different tone.
Oh, absolutely. But I'm like, totally different tone, of course. But like, we were missing, like, why is Marla Grayson this evil?
Yeah.
Like, they kind of tease that she's like, oh, my mom's a sociopath. You can kill her. I don't care.
Yeah.
But I would have loved to see how she ended up, because becoming without this. Without having any explanation. Mm-hmm. See, the Joker, the whole thing is we kind of figure out how he got to be so fucked up. With this Marla Grayson, we have no idea, no justification. We have no, when the fancy lawyer offers her $300,000 and she says no, we're now, as the audience, because of the way this was written, it's unjustifiable.
It is.
Because she is a con man. Con men want money.
Exactly.
They want the con.
Yeah.
But Marla Grayson has this weird thing against men, and she says no to the money because she wants to win. She has this like weird drive in her that makes her worse than a con man, but we have no idea why.
Yeah.
And I really need that context in order to be on board for this movie, because it already is such a crazy movie. And as we know, I love crazy, dramatic, insane movies.
Yeah.
So like, this is something that I would normally really, really like. Mm-hmm. We have like a fucking insane story.
Yeah.
But because it's so cruel, and because we have no justification for why she's going this far down the rabbit hole, and then she joins forces with the guy she's been fighting with this entire movie.
And then they take down a mob boss, which makes it, I mean, it actually doesn't make sense as to these two amateur con women taking down part of the Russian mob.
Right.
It's just so...
And not killing him.
It's so bizarre. And then, you know, a lot of it just was unrealistic, especially her getting out of how they were, the attempted hit on her life.
Yeah.
Just a lot of it doesn't make sense.
A lot of it doesn't add up. Where that's where I'm like, oh, is it because it was so outlandish and not really tied up that they're like, so that's the comedy?
Yeah.
And I'm like, I don't fucking know. I'm not laughing.
I'll tell you what, I didn't laugh. And I thought it is outlandish and it doesn't make a lot of sense at times. And I think it was double mumbo jumbo. There was too much going on.
Yeah.
You could have trimmed the fat. And
too long.
Give us a little bit more of a backstory.
Mm-hmm.
Have this... I mean, I would say she was the fiercest character, was the grandma. I think if she had come back and gotten vengeance, this movie would be a 10 out of 10.
Doesn't this movie feel like a sequel the whole time we're watching it?
Kind of.
It absolutely, from start to finish, it jumps in like a sequel.
Because
they keep showing us too, like even Fran had that moment with her cop friend being like, hey, Frankie. And she's like, you don't call me Frankie anymore after what happened.
I literally went, what the fuck was
what
that?
What happened?
Yes.
It's like they wrote this as if it was a sequel.
Yes. And I wanted to know, like, who the fuck was Fran? Who was she?
By the way, she was a hero in this movie. But we didn't see much of like who she was.
I mean, she was the closest we could get to an anti-hero.
A redeemable character, yeah.
Yeah, like redeemable. I mean, she's still a shitty person. These lesbians are still shitty.
Horrible villains.
Horrible people.
Yeah, I mean, when halfway through this movie, I was like, the only way that this works, like the way they have to tie this up is like the grandma gets freed and the woman, and Marla dies.
Yes.
And we get that, but it's also like, I still don't feel good.
That's what I was thinking, is even though Marla Grayson died, she died on top. And that's what I don't like.
Mm-hmm.
She still won.
Yeah.
In the end, she still won.
She got everything she wanted.
Exactly. And that's why I'm like, this movie to me doesn't work on the fact that she wins in the end.
Yeah.
Everyone lost. All these old people lost. And that like...
And that it made it... It now lives in a reality where even though Marla gets assassinated... Her legacy of this con is, and I don't know if this is trying to be like a, you know, commentary on how we treat the elderly and how it is systemic at this point.
Yeah,
and like, it is a giant out of our control now enterprise or whatever, but her legacy is still there.
Yeah.
And these old people are still being imprisoned and profited off of. So it's like, It sucks.
Yeah, I was like, why was this movie made? Like, what is the point? What are they trying to tell us with the movie?
Right.
And to me, there was nothing that I learned from it. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't enjoyable. I mean, this movie was infuriating. My girlfriend was like, my blood is boiling.
Yeah.
And it is. It's an infuriating movie.
And it's absolutely, it's insane. It's very much not grounded. It's one of these crazy movies.
Not grounded in reality at all.
And I just wish that it's like, if we're going to go on this wild ride, if we're going to go this far down this rabbit hole, if we're going to get this level of stars in this movie, if we're going to have this big of a budget, make it redeemable, make it funny, or make it sexier.
I agree. I wanted one of those three.
I would have loved this movie.
If I saw more sex or hotter kissing, if there was any chemistry between these two actresses, mm-hmm. I would have rated it higher.
Yeah.
If justice was served in the end, I would have liked it better.
Same.
Or if it was funny, which it was never funny.
If it was justice, funny, or sexier, I would have really liked this movie.
I agree.
But
with
it
you.
Didn't. And there were
it really
is
fell
a shocking
short.
Lack of black people as well.
Yes.
But I just, I don't know. How many gloves would you give it?
Honestly, 2.
I'm going to give it 2.5 because like it was so close to being in the realm of a movie that I would love.
I know. That's what frustrates me is I like villain movies. Mm-hmm. I really do.
I like the way they handled the gayness.
Yes.
I loved the lesbian relationship being something that was prevalent throughout, but was not the plot point.
They were just so unlikable. Just so fucking
too evil.
Too evil and like
too evil of
really
a con.
No qualities that were redeemable. They even fucking
can we just talk about the milk, the tooth and the milk?
But yeah, that's
crazy.
What I'm saying. Like, why? There were a lot of moments and like little Easter eggs that I'm like, but what was
right.
the point?
It's like they
why?
Watched Kill Bill 2 and they were like, it's cool that there were all these Easter eggs. It's like that's because it tied into the entire like.
Yeah, it was like fundamentally the writing was bad in this.
Yeah, something was off.
It was off
in the writing.
So yeah, I think this movie's not great. You know what? It's fun to watch in a way. It's entertaining.
It's fun when you're like, what the fuck is this?
Yeah. If I were you, I'd get high and watch this movie.
Yeah. But be careful if you have a recent. Yeah. It made me miss my grandma too. It really made me like if you recently had a grandparent pass, I wouldn't watch this.
Yeah. It's really tough to watch their treatment of elderly people in this. It's like watching Cruella de Vil if she actually killed the dogs though.
That's a great point. Yeah.
Yeah.
It sucks.
So it's not. Great. Next week,
but
I'm going to be reviewing the book Middlesex.
I swear to God, if you don't do it this week,
I'm never going to do it. that's it for us on Two Dykes and a Mic. I'm Mackenzie Goodwin.
I'm Rachel Scanlon. Go do something gay today.
We have new merch out.
Oh, hell yeah.
We are the greatest dykes in the world. Mackenzie Goodwin. Rachel Scanlon. Worldwide Dykes for Life!